Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Level Up Human, the comedy science podcast, souping up the Homo sapien. Welcome, dear humans, to another episode of Level Up Human Extra, where we delve into the news headlines of science and try and figure out how they might affect our species as a whole. I'm joined once again by our producer, it's Rachel Wheely.
Hello.
Hey, Rich, how are you doing today?
I'm very good, thanks. Very excited about all the new news about AI this week.
Why? What's so good about AI?
Well, you know how when you set up an account on a website, it gives you a capture test. You have to read some numbers and letters that have been distorted and then type them in. And that proves that you're not a robot.
Yes.
Well, robots can do that now.
Wow.
So that's that gone as a sort of safety check.
Is this one step closer to Terminator? Who would have thought that this was the only barrier?
Basically, the idea was that you could be sure that a bot hadn't set up an account on your website before using this capture security check, but now there's a company called Vicarious in California who have created an AI that can use visual cues to work out what a number or a letter is, even if it's distorted in the way that they do that.
Why are they proud of this? Why are they
Well, I suppose it's just a challenge, isn't it? If you create some kind of security check that AI can't beat, the AI people go, well, that's a gauntlet thrown to the ground.
Yeah.
And that company can prove that they can do this, which means that they have advanced algorithms and maybe they get some more work. It's already funded by Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg, so they're doing all right. But the interesting thing about capture is I thought it was just a stupid version of the word capture, but actually it's an acronym. So it stands for Completely Automated Public Turing Test to Tell Computers and Humans Apart.
And this is a Turing test, no?
Apparently it's.
Tell our audience what a Turing test is.
Well, Alan Turing said that if you could type to a computer and not be able to tell whether it was a computer or a person, then it is intelligent. Was that it?
Yeah, it's kind of along the lines of if it looks like a human and it sounds like a human across the internet, then you should treat it like it is. So it's that kind of thing, I suppose, for.
Ah, so that's when you can't turn it off.
Yeah. I think he's talking nonsense personally.
I mean, there are bots that I talk to on Facebook Messenger that could be human. I'm not asking them anything particularly difficult.
Why?
You know how sometimes when you're on a website for a company, it says, would you prefer to do a live chat with somebody rather than phoning us?
Yeah.
And I will always say yes, because that means I can do two things at once.
Yes.
And often those are not real people. They're just sort of bots. And they exist on Facebook Messenger now as well.
I don't like that.
No, but then I'm never asking them questions which are supposed to wheedle out whether they're human or not. I just go, can I have the pizza?
I suppose what's wrong with being served by a robot if the robot is good enough?
If it's got a pizza for me, I don't mind who's giving it to me. I'm pretty happy. Google reckons that its capture test is so complicated that humans can only solve it 87% of the time in the first place. So,
yeah, I failed some of those tests and I've often thought, right, is it the test or is it me?
Well, sometimes they distort them and place them over each other in such a way that you can't actually tell what letter or number it is. So, yeah. But isn't that technology also supposed to help with decoding books?
Why would you want to decode books?
Don't they use... So if you scan a book, and then you use those scans as capture tests, what you actually end up with are humans transcribing books for you over time.
Computers
what
transcribing.
Did I say? No, humans, because when they do the capture test, they translate it for you into letters and numbers on the keyboard.
Wait a minute, so on. This is a citizen science thing.
Yeah. I'm sure they've used capture tests for that before. So they are also transcribing books using it.
So you can actually mix maybe a capture test with some sort of machine learning thing as well.
Right. This is the practical implication of this company having created an AI that can do this, because presumably then you can also give this technology pages of, you know, ancient manuscript to translate into digital copies.
I don't need more books. I've already got more than I will read in my lifetime.
You don't, but the human race might appreciate having copies of every book ever written.
Granted, yes. That's probably arguably...
It's not all about you, Simon.
It's arguably the one good thing about the internet, really, isn't it?
Anyway, I think this is a small, interesting story, but it's not, I don't think there's much
this
beyond
world
this,
changing.
Really. It's not, nah.
So what is world-changing?
I don't have any more news stories. What? I just have a fish that was shown to me by somebody called Rebecca at the University of the Arts London, which has human teeth.
Actual human teeth?
Well,
or
they
just
look like
human teeth?
They look like human teeth.
Okay. It's not that we've actually... That's not like the new stage in gene splicing.
I don't think so, no. I think it's just that they look like they have human teeth and they have a penchant for chewing testicles.
What is this species?
Pacu.
Oh, crap. I've seen it then. Yeah, they're horrible.
Mm. They have human teeth, Simon. They're pretty nasty. And the official advice is keep your shorts tied.
There's a lot of things which look like the human teeth. So one of the ugly animal mascot for Edinburgh is a species which has become known as the gob-faced squid. Now, I love this because we've only ever found one of them, and it's only, a couple of inches big. But it does appear to have...
It's only a couple of inches big.
Yeah, it's a tiny little thing.
I've seen a picture of it and I didn't realise it was only a couple of inches big.
But it does look like it's got a human mouth, doesn't it?
Less terrifying than I thought. Yes, that is.
The thing is, those teeth on the gobface squid are not teeth. They're actually folds in its lips. It just looks like that.
Oh.
But it was so rare it didn't even have a common name until Jen Harrison at one of our gigs named it. And now it's in Wikipedia, so it must be true.
Oh, wow. So it's actually been named by the Ugly Animal Preservation Society.
We are very proud of that.
That's excellent.
I've got a bit of news in terms of these things, though. Like, I found what I reckon is a really cool robot and a new way that they're using robots in general, and it's all down to origami. So they're trying to figure out how you could fold soft robots up. So basically, you get a robot, fold it up nice and neatly, put it into a pill, swallow the pill in your tummy, pill coating digests, and then it unfolds and can get to work. So by folding the machines up, we can put them into interesting places.
Awesome.
I love origami, full stop. So it's fantastic where this is happening.
So they would have to be folded up by a machine though, right?
Well, I guess this is the whole idea, is that their shape is for a sort of self-folding, self-assembly. It reminds me of sushi in the appearance, or like somebody has just wanted really compact bacon and they've folded these things over and over
so
and over
again. So how big are the robots?
Well, teeny tiny. But not so teeny tiny when they unfold. So I guess they're flat is the key. And they must have something in them which means that they are highly flexible, control their flexibility. It's almost like they've got lots of joints, I guess.
Mm.
But the hope is that you'll be able to do things like surgery non-invasively. You know, you can start surgery on a stomach or parts of the intestine without having to make those holes.
With a robot with a camera, and it can start doing the surgery itself.
Ideally, yeah.
Cool.
I reckon there's something to this, actually. Like, origami seems to be coming more and more and more into science. I was at a conference last year, and I met some origami experts. And it seems like such a strange job that that's actually a thing now. But they're working with things like satellites to work out what's the most efficient and best way of folding up your solar panels and what kind of bizarre shapes, and how can you fit things into strange places?
That's cool. So, I had definitely written off as soon as you said origami robots. I was thinking, well, origami is just for making paper swans, isn't it? It's not really, this isn't really science. But yeah, if it can enable you to ingest a robot.
Origami seems to be getting all sorts of uses in science at the moment. So for a start, you're getting little robots like like these kind of ones that were swallowable, which can effectively fold themselves up and then self-assemble and walk around, carry loads, deliver things to bits of the body and that kind of thing. You're getting it used in space telescopes. You're getting used for sort of zigzag materials. So one of my favorite things I've come across this year was the Dyson Design Prize. The London-based designer Ryan Yasmin won the Dyson Award this year with origami clothing. The idea being that you can put it onto your child, and as they grow, the clothing will grow with them.
Ah, excellent.
So limiting waste, meaning that you don't have to buy more and more and more and more and more.
That's a brilliant idea. See, origami is useful after all.
Here's another couple of quick examples. I was just looking up sort of cool designs of origami. Stents. So things which you put into heart valves to keep them open. So mm-hmm. those effectively are bits of origami because they go in flat. And then whenever you pull one bit, they sort of open out.
Mm-hmm.
You're also getting it used in airbags.
Mm-hmm.
So how to fold up an airbag efficiently.
Yes.
Tons in architecture as well. And yeah, it seems to be one of the big futures of, I guess, like nano implants, making things able to change shape. So one of the places this has been used most at the moment is retinal implants, because there isn't much room in an eye. So if you're getting things to move around and stick down, stick them in flat and let them do their work then.
So you put something into your eye and then it unfolds when it's in place.
Yeah, so in this case, Pellegrino is the name of the science. Sergio Pellegrino. He is building a sort of thing which is flat and therefore lower cost to manufacture. And it's got these folding techniques that you can then put it.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Dense array of electrodes right next to the retina, so you can transmit electrical signals to from a camera to an eyeball,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing. Yeah, how cool is that? That's a door.
That's awesome.
How would you review origami fashion? Would you wear that?
That would just be embarrassing because I'm not going to grow.
Oh yeah, fair
I point. Would just be wearing it and in a kind of desperate hope. It does suggest that I'm carrying myself around in my compressed form and that when I am full height, I am very imposing and terrifying. Well, we're just having a look at this picture now of a kid wearing an origami suit, which kind of, you could see that the kid will grow and the origami suit will get bigger. It's very stylish, actually. But yeah, good for kids, not so good for grown-ups due to the fact that we've already grown.
I've got another cool story, I think, here, which is a new type of tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made from graphene. Have you ever heard of graphene?
Graphene is a way to arrange carbon atoms.
Yes.
In a flat form.
It is terrific. It was widely hailed as going to be one of the new sort of super materials and one of those things that will change the world. It's the thinnest material on Earth. It's about a million times thinner than a human hair. It's the most conductive material we've ever found. So if you ever get to touch any of this stuff, it feels cold. Because it's just sucking the heat out of you.
Mm.
But can you know, because it's thin and it's cool, well, thin and conductive and everything, you can send electricity along it. And they're trying to make tattoos from graphene.
What?
Well, the purpose of this is to have sort of effectively microelectronics. So you could have a tattoo which will monitor your pulse and your health and things, maybe like your blood sugar. You name it, really.
And would it be removable?
Yeah, so far these ones, they look a little bit like the kind of the tattoos you have, transfer tattoos you have when you're a kid and you want to look like you've got a tattoo, but don't.
But your mum won't let you.
But your mum won't let you.
Okay, so you transfer on a graphene tattoo.
Yeah.
And then it acts as a Fitbit.
That's kind of it. And hopefully things better than a Fitbit long term. Like, if they could hook this up to Wi-Fi somehow, so if you've got a heart attack, it knows and it calls 999 for you.
Oh, wow.
That'd be the long-term goal for these sort of things. Whether or not graphene tattoos will be the way to do that, or other sensors in the body, but having something so, so thin, a material like this, which can do so much, seems like a very good starting point. Graphene, I think, is pretty incredible. It was invented by a guy called André Geim. He's the pioneer behind it. And I love him anyway because of some of his previous work. This was the first man to levitate a frog.
How did he do that?
Basically, he got a frog and some massive magnets. And because frogs are mostly water, he was able to sort of magnetize the water, so to speak.
Oh,
and it floats around there. That's worth YouTubing
frog.
Later. If you go,
yeah.
Yeah, I can't tell if a frog was harmed in the making of that video or not, but I don't think it was.
And does it hurt to have all the water in your body magnetized? Probably doesn't.
I don't know.
But like, then we've never tried, so don't know.
Well, I suppose we're mostly water as well, so
yeah,
the next stage.
You could levitate a human by magnetizing all the water inside one, probably.
Yeah, and is that something you want to try?
Not on my kids.
No,
I'll never get them back. They'd just be stuck to the fridge. Actually, though, we did have a suggestion for Level Up Human once to have magnetic kids that you could just stick on the fridge. And I think about that every now and then. I think it would be good.
Why
just to have them
fridge?
Just out of the way.
I think your key there is being able to make them opposite poles so that when they're fighting, they just can't actually touch each other.
That would be excellent. I have a 7 and a 5-year-old boy at the moment. And you can't...
You say at the moment, you're going to keep them. It's not like...
Well, I mean, they're going to develop into 8-year-old and 6-year-old boys eventually.
Point.
That's what I mean. But, you know, they fight all the time. They go back to being friends again very quickly. But when they are fighting, it's quite nasty. So being able to spontaneously polarize all of the liquid in their bodies, just some kind of remote control, and suddenly they can't touch each other. Yeah, ideal.
I've got some news from Liverpool, which I think is going to be particularly pertinent for the next stage of humanity,
okay,
as our lifespans increase and our lives change as a result. So in Liverpool, a 90-year-old woman has moved into the same care home as her son to help look after him.
Okay.
Her son is 80 and she is 98. And they've moved into the same care home. And according to the report, he says that she frequently still tells him off.
Okay, so she's feeling quite kind of bright and she's helping to look after him by moving into the same care home, but
yeah,
also maybe having a few things looked after for her.
I think they're both at the stage of needing a little bit of help, but
I
guess as our lifespans increase, this kind of thing is going to become more and more common.
It will be, won't it?
And I know we're bound to be one of those generations where, what's the word, is it dependent, I think, in terms of economics? Where
mm-hmm.
you've got people who aren't earning.
Yes.
And perhaps like living with somebody else. So we might get to a stage where our parents are living with us, but also our grandparents and possibly our great-grandparents.
So they talk about the sandwich generation at the moment, which have people who have kids and elderly relatives with needs as well.
Yes.
So we're going to have the club sandwich generation
the
next.
Clubs.
Which is, I, the 35-year-old person, are going to have my kids, my parents living with me, their parents living with me. That's as much as I can cope with. I can't even conceive of any more generations than that living in my house.
There must be something good about this, though, because you will have cross-generational wisdom.
The good thing will be that if you have elderly parents who have needs but are also actually quite mobile, they can do some of the childcare for you.
Well, that's an argument for evolution as to one of the reasons why old people exist, full stop. Now, that sounds like a really strange phrase, a bit like that, but one of the things that makes humans unusual, one of the things which is more unique to us, I suppose, compared to other mammals, is a menopause. And that would appear to be an evolutionary strategy to stop mothers dying. And that's deliberately to try and keep grandmothers around.
Right, to look after the kids.
Well, to contribute to it. And not only that, but they were libraries. So back in the day before Wikipedia, You want to have somebody who is old enough to remember the last time there was a famine and the last time there was a drought. And what was the berry that you eat when you're really desperate?
Oh, yeah.
And what's the route you take for this kind of migration? So having wisdom and experience. So partly to help with childcare, partly to help with knowledge. That was their big contribution to the tribe back then. And then the younger generations, their contribution to the elders was to help keep them alive. But the reason why the menopause exists for this is specifically because giving birth to a human child is such a traumatic event that if you did keep having babies into your 80s, 90s, your chances of it killing you is much, much higher. And also that you're not going to be around long enough to help bring it up. As a child, a human child takes so long to not be its own worst enemy. You want to make sure that you're around long enough for that.
I can testify to that. They are definitely quite suicidal to start with.
Yeah. I hope it works out well. I hope our society adapts for it. And that we don't just leave generations of people hung out to dry, so to speak.
Care is going to have to be less expensive.
There's lots of research. There's been a couple of places. I think it's in Denmark where they're opening up villages and places where student accommodation is. And students can have a slightly reduced rent if they live with people in these care homes.
Ah, and help out.
And it's not just helping out. It appears to even just be the social aspect of conversation and new blood and new people has a major medical effect on the elderly in these regions. It keeps them a bit sharper. And it also benefits the young people. These are two separate generations who both complain of loneliness quite a bit, and this seems to be a genuine cure for it.
Living together and having conversations. I mean, it'll never catch on.
I sound like such a hippie whenever I talk about these things. But like, that's not a tech answer, is it? That's an answer where we've just decided to do something about it.
That's just society being smart. It makes sense to incentivize people to do that. Okay, are we done for this episode of Level Up Human Extra, Simon?
I think we are. Have you got anything to plug? Is there any news?
I have nothing to plug at the moment. I'm simply cruising towards Christmas at this point. How about you?
Already cruising towards
Christmas. Yeah, even at this point.
No, nothing to plug at this moment, but there will be soon. So see you, listeners. Check out their more live episodes that are coming up. We're just back from Cork, and that will be available to listen to soon.
That was Level Up Human, hosted by Simon Watt, produced by Rachel Wheely, and supported by the Wellcome Trust. For more information, go to leveluphuman.com.
Okay, Gregory, we need to do a little commercial to advertise our podcast. What should we say? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. No, not that. I'm not saying that. I don't want another letter of complaint. Shut up, Darren. I didn't ask you. Yeah, that'll do. Hello, my name is Eric Lampere. I do a podcast called Topical Island. Either alone or with a guest, and with the sentient animals living on my imaginary island, we dissect a topic to the best of our ability. Science, history, literature, any sort of nonsense. Topical Island is the perfect destination to get away from reality. So find us on Apple, iTunes, or SoundCloud. That'll do, right? Yeah. Good one. Oh shit, Naomi found us. Let's get out of here. Yeah, find us on iTunes and shit.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.